Before we hear our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. O God, may your word speak to parched hearts and yearning souls. Remind us through your promises and your call that you alone fill us with the healing and the hope we need this day and always. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. You can follow along on page 165 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It has been a difficult week in the news. Missouri, Kenya, Beirut, Paris. One of our colleagues noted yesterday that a minister who preaches on a weekly basis has to ask, do I address this in some way in the pulpit? And he went on to note that the challenge is that if we did that every time, that's all we'd ever do. That's the horror, that's the tragedy of life in our day, that such difficult things happen in communities and nations all around the world. Let me add to what he says my belief, which is that the world needs the church now more than ever, as we bear witness to the Prince of Peace in our life together, but also in this world into which we're sent, going forth as we do as a people of hope, of compassion, of honesty, and of courage as we face these challenges that continue to come before us. We are reminded in the full witness of Scripture that God's people ever have a part to play in sharing in God's healing and reconciling work in the world. There are times when that challenge seems daunting, but we are nonetheless called to share the gifts that we have, that we've been given. To that end, let us listen now to our reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 14th verse, as Jesus shares with his followers the parable of the talents. Jesus says, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.' His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of the Lord. Well, Jesus' parable of the talents is guaranteed to get us thinking about money and investing and generosity and reward and, yes, even punishment. All topics to make us squirm at least a bit on this stewardship dedication Sunday. I'm reminded of the fidgety young boy in church who asked his mother, "Mom, if we give the money now, do you think he'll let us go?" The answer is not yet. Not yet. Because the reality is that we're dealing with far more than money here. Our word of faith for today is steward. Now, a generation ago, steward or stewardess was the word that we used for flight attendants. It's still used for those who provide basic assistance on cruise ships, from what I understand, cabin stewards and the like. In the church, I think from the way that we've used this word through the years, we have truncated its meaning so that steward or stewardship has come to be associated mostly with our giving of our money or our time and talent. Now, while it includes those acts of giving and serving, I would like to suggest to you this morning that steward and stewardship is about much more than that. The word itself comes to us from Old English. Stegweird, keeper of the house or the hall or even the livestock pen. Now, the steeg part of that is also where we get our word sty, which has prompted some to say that a steward, a styward, is a keeper of the pigsty. So, for instance, any of you who saw my office prior to my sabbatical could say that I was the steward of my, let's say, rather cluttered office. But by the time we get to the 14th century in England and Scotland, that word had come to mean one who manages the affairs of an estate on behalf of his or her employer. And with that, the word has actually returned to its biblical roots. A steward is someone who serves as a manager or a trustee for something that is not their own, but is entrusted to them to administer for the benefit of others. Stewards are to be sure that what they are managing is being used as its owner intends. So then, you and I are stewards. But what exactly are we stewards of? Are we stewards of our gifts to the church? Well, certainly, but that's only part of our stewarding work. The 24th Psalm, with which we began our worship this morning, reminds us that nothing we have is actually fully ours. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the psalmist proclaims, everything, one way or another, everything belongs to God. With that, for us to be a steward is to spend our lives attending to how we are managing God's stuff. Things, money, relationships, ministry, people, community, and national life, the earth itself. As our readings this morning point us to past and present and future, I would like for us to think about our stewarding work through this lens of time. Part of our work as stewards involves intentional acts of remembrance of the past. We're to remember how it is that we have gotten to the place where we are now. Our reading from Deuteronomy says quite pointedly that we are not to pat ourselves on the back for securing our own lives, for what we have earned or established or accomplished. We are to remember how God was at work to bring us to that place, at work through people and events that have shaped us, that have shaped this community of which we are a part in ways from which we benefit now. Will Willimon, retired bishop in the Methodist Church and once again a professor at the Duke Divinity School, tells of being in a dinner conversation years ago with a group of so-called self-made men who were talking about the debate in our country over affirmative action, our country's effort intended to assist people, typically racial minorities or women, in getting into college or in getting a job when these folks had been discriminated against in years past. Each of the participants at this particular dinner had achieved a great deal in life through work, hard work, and earnest effort. Willimon expected that they were going to have a uniformly negative view of affirmative action. This notion that the government ought to take measures that would enable some people to have a hand up, a first chance. Then one of the older men in the group looked around and said, "Every person seated at this table has been the beneficiary of affirmative action. We didn't call it that, but we asked for help from someone who knew your father or called up someone who owed your mother a favor." He said, "When I graduated from the University of North Carolina in the Depression, my daddy called me and told me not to take the trouble to come home because there was no work. He advised me to go to Raleigh. He told me to go to the office of a man he had once befriended and ask him if he would hire me. Well, that man was good enough to give me a job out of respect for my father." That's affirmative action the old way. We called it looking for a favor from somebody, or we called it the buddy system or networking, but it was still affirmative action. Now, the person who told that story was Terry Sanford, who had been a U.S. Senator, the governor of North Carolina, and the president of Duke University. Now, I share that story not to prop up affirmative action, but to say that one way or another, that is the story of every one of us, every one of us. Countless hands have shaped us, what we value, our work ethic, our commitments to love or peace or justice, our education, the opportunities that we have had along the way. We are not our own. None of us have made ourselves. That's the sort of appreciation that Deuteronomy calls for. None of us have arrived at this place where we are in life on our own. Part of our work as stewards is managing our memory so that we can remember where we've come from and all of the people and the things that have happened that have shaped who we are and where we are in our lives now. That's as true for us in our family and work life as it is for us in the church. That wellspring of gratitude, the dependence that we have in all of our interconnectedness, springs us forward into the present moment. And our work as stewards does certainly speak to the present, this time in which we have been entrusted with so much. Jesus' parable of the talents tells of a master giving talents in varying quantities to his servants. Now, talents here are not gifts like singing or bookkeeping. A talent was a sum of money. It was actually a measure of weight, the weight of the valuable stuff. The value of a talent today would be easily in the millions of dollars. But Jesus' point is about more than money. These servants are entrusted with something that doesn't belong to them. It belongs to their master, and they are expected to use it well in ways that the rightful owner intends. Now, Jesus' point for his disciples is that they ask themselves on a regular basis, "How am I using now that which has been entrusted to me?" Not what can I put off till next week, or what might I do a year from now when things might be better or different, but what am I doing now in this present moment. What am I doing now with my money? Am I spending it as fast as I make it, or maybe even faster? Am I saving it? Am I sharing it? Am I using it in ways that brings life to other people? The answer to those questions might help us get at our relationship with our wealth. As noted a few weeks ago, is it something that we own, or is it something that owns us? Are we responsible with what we have, or do we feel helpless? There are other questions for this present time. How am I currently sharing in God's work in the world, in my family, in the church, in my work, in the community? Am I too busy to invest the talent that is my life? Am I too busy to make a commitment to serve? If so, what is that busyness about? How am I involved in the formation of my faith and in the faith of those around me? In what ways am I still learning and growing? How might I find ways to help other generations deepen their roots in faith, just as other generations have shaped my faith in years past? How is my life making a difference in the lives of other people? Might the skills I have help others make their way out of poverty? Could my commitment to learning be a resource for a child who would benefit from a mentor? Now, those are the sorts of questions that stewards ask. They know that their time, their money, their relationships aren't really their own. They want to invest what they have here and now in ways that the one who gave those gifts intended, in ways that lead to life, life abundant, not only for themselves but also for others. Well, finally, we are stewards of the future as well. And by that I mean that the decisions that we make today are not just for today. They ripple forward into the future in ways that we can envision as well as ways that we cannot. The way that ripples go out when you toss a stone into a pond. Think of it this way. The pews that you are sitting in now, hopefully not sleeping, just sitting. The pews that you're sitting on now are a gift to us from the past. When prior generations here shared in ways that enable us now to gather here for worship. In their present moment, nearly 60 years ago, they made a gift to the future. And in their giving, they trusted that God was going to be at work through what they gave to provide not only for their present moment, but for generations to come as well. Stewards look to the future with anticipation and with hope. Anticipation of joyful acts of worship, heartfelt service, eager learning, generous caring. Anticipation that meaningful ministry is going to happen when we all share in this work to which we're called together. But also with hope. Hope that the God who is present and at work now will continue to be at work in the days and in the months and in the years to come. Stewards also recognize, as they look to the future, that we are going to be held accountable for how we use these gifts. What Jesus is saying to his followers is that our lives matter. What we do with our lives matters very much. We do not want to waste the opportunity that we have to be of good use for sake of Christ's work in this world. On this Stewardship Dedication Sunday, we have before us symbols of our vocation as stewards. Our pledge cards and our time and talent forms are certainly important as we make commitments for the coming year in ministry, but they speak to more than just that. These symbols remind us of how we have gotten to where we are now in our lives and in our life together as a church. We are summoned to remember that it is not just by the power of our hand that we have wealth to share, but that God has been at work in all of these different ways to help us become who we are. While our time and talent forms are updated every year, many of these opportunities for ministry reflected in this form reflect commitments and forms of ministry that go back for generations at Highland. Opportunities that make Highland the unique congregation we are, the peculiar saints whose life together gives such life to other people. With these symbols, we remember. But we also hope. We hope for life-giving ministry in the coming year. We hope for funds which will shape and support our life together. We hope for the ways that we will use the energy, intelligence, imagination, and love of our lives for sake of Christ's service here and in the world. What is left for us now is this present moment in which we are going to make our commitments. We choose this day through our commitments of money, time, and talent, what our future together in ministry might be, and whether we will be true to the generosity of the generations past who have brought us to where we are now, and whether we will be true to the generations who are not yet here, who will continue building on the foundation that we continue to lay. In this present moment, as stewards of the gifts of the living God, as managers and trustees of that which is not our own, what will our choice be? Whatever we choose, may God bless our commitments for sake of full and joyful serving together in the coming year. All that we do for sake of this world that God so dearly loves. Thanks be to God. Amen.